Shall we take our Bibles and look at Colossians chapter 4? As I think about the ministry in Australia over the past 3.5 decades, I think of the variety of people that we've taught. Sometimes they came in, I think of one student who came in and I said, "Oh, brother." But God got a hold of his life, and he's been an evangelist now for years. Diamond in the rough. He was pretty rough at first. And the joy of seeing God work in people's lives. But you know one thing also I've noticed? Not everybody is the same. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you for your love and grace. And we thank you for the opportunity to consider your word and serving you. And we ask you to speak to our hearts. Help me to be clear and to speak what you want me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. If you were choosing a team, whom would you choose? Let me give you two choices. Somebody who's no good at sports or somebody who's real good at sports. Now, that's a no-brainer, right? And have you ever wondered, how can God use me? Where do I fit in? Sometimes I think of the harvest field. We used our term harvest field, or like an orchard. And we have apple orchards around where we lived in Australia. And you know, there's a variety of things you have to do to an apple orchard. There isn't just picking the apples. There's taking care of the trees. And you can go on with a lot of things like that. Well, with that thought in mind, I want to look at Colossians 4, 7 to 14, at 8 different people. Now, you're going to have to stay with me. Usually, sermons are three points in a poem. Well, I've got 8 different people. So you think you can keep all that straight? We'll work at it. And but these 8 people are diverse. One of them had a bad background. Another was, shall we call it this way, a failed missionary. He quit. And others, and so on, it goes like that. Let's look at the first one. This is in verses 7 and 8. "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, and a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts." Tychicus, he's mentioned 5 times in the New Testament. What do we know about him? Well, he was on Paul's team in Macedonia and Achaia. That's modern Greece. Was he outstanding? Was he a prominent member of the team? Nope. Fact is, I find it interesting. Notice what Paul says about him here. Whom I have what? Sent. He is somebody who took orders. And the fact is, he was sent to Colossae. Colossae, they were having some problems, some doctrinal problems. He sent them there, and he said, but they were concerned about Paul. He says, he's going to tell you about me. Paul's in prison. That created a few questions. What's going on? How are things with you? And he also sent to encourage them. And but he's described, notice how he's described in verse 7. He's a beloved brother. He's a beloved brother in the Lord, and he's a faithful minister and a fellow servant. Now, being in Australia for 35 years, when I think of the word minister, I think of a government minister. He's somebody who's in charge of a particular department or whatever. That isn't the idea here. The idea of minister is somebody who ministers. He's a servant. He's a fellow slave. In other words, he's somebody who takes orders. And as I think, he's an ambassador for somebody else. He does something that promotes somebody else's ministry. He's a behind-the-scenes kind of a guy. And he doesn't chafe under authority. He doesn't say, well, I want to do it my way. I want to do something for myself. Tychicus, I call him one under authority. As we think in service of the Lord, it begins with one who's willing to be under authority. Are you the kind of a person that is willing just to do what somebody else tells you to do behind the scenes and let somebody else get the glory? Let's look at the second man. That's Tychicus, a man under authority. Onesimus, verse 9. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Now, what does he call Onesimus? A faithful and beloved brother. Now, if somebody is faithful, what kind of a person is he? You can trust him, right? You can rely on him. He's the kind of a guy, if you're an employer, you'd like him to be in your employ. Is that the way he always was? There's another book written at the same time called Philemon. You go over there and you find out he was a runaway slave. And he did what slaves often do. They head for Rome. You can get lost in Rome, in the big city. Somehow Paul comes across him. I don't know how. But he comes across Paul and he comes to know the Lord. And as you read through Philemon, I get the picture. He probably stole a large sum of money from Onesimus. Maybe he pilfered a little bit here, a little bit there. And then he ran away. And in their culture, slaves that were caught were in big trouble. They could be maimed, they could even be killed, and no impunity. Let just beaten. So Paul writing a letter just for Philemon about Onesimus is very significant in their culture. He was a slave with a bad past. And Paul says he was at one time unprofitable. He was useless. Now he is a faithful brother. And he tells Philemon, receive him as a brother. And I know you will do more than I say. He's faithful. You know, God knew, or Paul knew, that God at times will use people to serve him who have a questionable past. Paul still had a place for changed people. If you have a bad past, don't let the devil say you can't be used of the Lord. He has a place for changed lives. Onesimus, a man with a bad past. So we have, what's the first one? Tychicus. A man under authority. Onesimus, a man with a bad past. Then let's look at verse 10, the first part of verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. Paul calls him what? A fellow prisoner. He's also Jewish. We know that from just a little bit further down. That means what Paul's going through, Aristarchus is going through. You follow him through. He's mentioned three times in the book of Acts. In Acts 19, the silversmiths didn't like Paul being so successful, so they created a riot, and they tried to get Paul. Didn't find him. So you know who they did? They got a hold of Aristarchus and Gaius. He took what was meant for Paul. In chapter 20, we find him accompanying Paul through Macedonia and through Greece. In Acts 27, verse 2, he's traveling with Paul to Rome. He's the kind of a man that, he was a fellow burden bearer. He was bearing the same things. You know, sometimes it's just nice to say to somebody, you don't just say, I appreciate it, I understand. I've been there, or I am there. Even in the ministry, it can be lonely. Pastor or deacons, sometimes we'll go through difficult times. You'll struggle to sleep and toss and turn. How do we deal with this in a way that honors God? It can be dark and can be lonely. Somebody who is just cares can mean a lot. This was Aristarchus, a fellow burden bearer. So we have Tychicus, he's a man under authority. Onesimus, a man with a what kind of past? Bad past. Aristarchus, a fellow burden bearer. Then we come to the next part of verse 10. Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandment, if he come unto you, receive him. Marcus, Mark, John Mark. Now, what's significant about John Mark? Now, that's a whole study in itself, and a very interesting study. He's a man, Paul and Barnabas had gone down to Jerusalem. They came across Mark, and they said, this man has potential. And he goes with them up to Antioch, and he's there probably around 3 or 4 years, a whole missionary term. Then God changes Paul and Barnabas' ministry. He's just not in a church. He's traveling. And there's dangers on the road as you walk. There's opposition. He goes with Paul and Barnabas through Cyprus. What Barnabas had been through was from Cyprus, so not too bad. And then he gets into what is now modern Turkey, and he says, all we're told is he left. And he went back to Jerusalem. Later in chapter 15, Barnabas wants to take John Mark along. And Paul says, he quit. He's not cut out for the ministry. And Barnabas says, but Paul, he's changed. He's a real asset to the ministry. Yes, no, yes, no. They split. But we've come here, this is I think around 10 years later. And Mark is part of this team. Not only that, Paul is willing to give him responsibility. And then you go about 3 or 4 years later from this, over in 2 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy over in Ephesus, and he says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Mark was a second chance man. Now, to think about that, have you failed? I mean, real big. Not just failed a test. Now, that's real fun if you're in academics or something. No, it's not. Have you ever failed? Mark failed. He quit. But Barnabas took him under his wing. And I think Barnabas was a key factor in bringing that young man around, where he was profitable for the ministry. He was now part of Paul's team. Paul recognized the ability he had, and of course, God used him to write the Gospel of Mark. So we have Tychicus, a man under authority. Onesimus, a man with a bad past. Aristarchus, a fellow burden bearer. Mark, second chance. And then we come to verse 11. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who, referring to these three people, are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort to me. Jesus, Justice. What do we know about him? This is it. He's not mentioned anywhere else. Jesus is Joshua. Jesus comes from the Greek. Joshua comes from the Hebrew. But I find something interesting about this. He's a background man, not really noticed a lot. He didn't worry about being noticed. But it says here, these only of the circumcision. What ethnicity was Paul? Jewish. What were these people? Jewish. Now, I've learned something. I was born in Africa of missionary parents. Then we came back to America, this strange place, when I was 10. And then we went to New England, and that can be different yet again. But living in Australia, you know what? It's a different culture. And when you're first out there, I call it the fascination stage. These are my terms. The anthropologists have their own terms. First, when you're fascinated. Then you hit the stage, yuck. You can't stand it. And then you say, well, I can live with it until the end of the term, and I'm out of here. And then you accept it. Having been in a different culture, sometimes it's nice just to be people of the same culture. At times, people who understand the struggles, the feelings you may be going through. Paul was a Hellenistic Jew, but he was still very Jewish. So you have Aristarchus, Jesus Justice, we'll call him, an unrecognized worker. Just somebody there who was an encouragement. He wasn't recognized. He was behind the scenes. You know, some people sometimes get bent out of shape if they're not recognized for doing something. The pastor didn't mention what I was doing. He didn't notice it or whatever. He was the kind of man who says, I don't care. God keeps the record books. I just get about the job. He was an unrecognized type of worker. Okay, quiz time. Tychicus, a man under authority. Then we have Onesimus, a man with a bad past. Aristarchus, fellow burden bearer. Mark, second chance. Jesus, justice, unrecognized. And then we come to Colossians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in the Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. He describes Epaphras, who is what? A servant of Christ. Okay? But what is he noted for? For praying, right? What kind of prayer? Praying fervently. This means he works hard at prayer. Not hard to pray, but hard in prayer. Now, it's a joy to see these four little possums up here. I'm going to use that term. But if one of them goes astray, how are mom and dad going to pray? Fervently. This man prayed for these three churches, these three communities, which are reasonably close together, fervently. And what was the content of his prayer? That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. One of the things they were struggling with, they wanted to know God. They wanted to know God's will. And they were getting attracted by a type of false doctrine. We'll just leave it there because that's the study of Colossians. And they had to learn, no, you know the word, you apply the word, then you know God. It begins with knowing the word of God, applying what is taught. And he was praying that that would be, he had a passion for that in prayer. You know what people need sometimes? All churches, I'm getting my words all mixed up. Let me back up. For you who don't understand, that's back in the old tape days. When you get older, sometimes you can't do as much. But you know what you can do? Pray. The church needs prayer. Get the church list of the members. You'll have the members, you'll have those who just kind of come but aren't members, and then those who visit once in a while. All of them need prayer. Need prayer for the pastors. That God will protect, that God will guide. We need praying people who pray fervently, who work hard in prayer for the Lord. And that can be a real ministry. Okay, so let's run. Shall we run quiz time again? Aristarchus, a man under authority. Then we have, what did they say? Aristarchus. Tychicus. Let's back up again. Tychicus. You're not the only one who gets mixed up. I can do it real bad, and I've learned that's just the way I am. Okay, Tychicus, a man under authority. Onesimus, bad past. Aristarchus, a burden, fellow burden. But Mark, second chance. Jesus, justice, unrecognized. Epaphras, the praying man. And then we come to verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician. Now, the last that I understood, if you get into the doctoral exam program, you have to have good grades. Then you have to get through it. Then you have internship and tests and all that. He was a gifted man, an intelligent man, a well-educated man. And he knew how to use the Greek. Which was his language. And he could even use the... At his time, you had two kinds of Greek. You had what everybody spoke, and then they tried to talk like they did back several hundred years ago. He could do that, too. There's evidence of that. So he knew his stuff. He was a man who had talent. And What did he do? He used them for the Lord. He was a man with a gift and with ability, and he used them for God. He used them the way that God had given. Are you using the abilities God has given you? So we have Tychicus, the man under authority. Onesimus, bad past. Aristarchus, fellow burden bearer. Mark, second chance. Jesus, justice, unrecognized. Who's he, in other words? Epaphras, the praying man. Luke, a gifted man who gave his abilities to be used for God. And then we come to Demas. Now, it says here at the end of verse 14, and Demas greet you. Now, at this time, Demas was part of the team. No problems, no hint of difficulties. He's effective. And you look at elsewhere, Paul had sent him on missions. And he did a work for God. Well, so what's the problem with Demas? Well, you go about 3 or 4 years later, Paul is now in prison the second time, and he's lost the case. Now, he isn't fed to the lions because he's a Roman citizen, but he knows death is coming. His time on earth is finished. And he says over in Demas, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Now, you've heard of the persecution of Nero. Under Nero, the persecution was primarily in Rome. Where was Thessalonica? It was a safe place. I don't think when it says having loved this present world, my take on it, I could be wrong, it isn't that he denied Christ. He knew if he stayed put, he was a dead man. And he wanted to keep, shall we say, head and body together. So he left for a safer place. He deserted Paul. He went AOL, absent without leave. I could be wrong, but I think that's what he did. And as I think about Demas, this really gives us a reminder. You can be in the ministry and go AOL. You can quit. You know what? Church members can do the same thing. And when that, don't you be a deserter, be part of the solution. When times get tough, and if you live long enough, it will happen. Every mission field has it. Every place has it. Every church goes through the times like that. Because we're in a fight, we're in a war with the devil. Sometimes he'll win a few battles, but we know who's going to win the war. Demas was a man who got distracted. And he's known as the man who left. And I don't know, to me, when I think about Paul, as I read there through 2 Timothy, I see a man so much alone. He speaks about Onesiphorus, who came and encouraged him in his bonds. At the cost, maybe he lost, Onesiphorus lost his own life. But I see a man who felt the loneliness. And then to have Demas forsaken, that hurt. But here's Demas. He reminds us, he's a man with a misplaced love. He preferred to stay alive rather than finish the task God had given him. Some things are good to quit, but he quit too soon. So, our eight people, can we remember them? You have Tychicus, a man under authority. Onesimus, man with a bad past. Aristarchus, fellow burden bearer. Mark, second chance man. Jesus, justice, unrecognized. Epaphras, praying man. Luke, using his talents for Christ, using his abilities. And Demas, misplaced love. Whom does God use? These men had, and there's something else interesting. These were 3 Jews, 5 Gentiles that worked on the same team, and they got along. We can be diverse. Most of our churches in Australia have multicultures in them. Everyone has that. They get along. And we should too. God is looking for candidates who are available, or that God has put together. He's more concerned about your availability than your ability. Have you failed in the past? God still has a place for you. Are you willing to submit to God's rule, to be under His authority? Are you looking for fame and recognition? Forget it. Be willing to work. You know, there's that song, it speaks of So Send I You, Unloved, Unsought. The lady who wrote it at that time was in rebellion. And she thought, what's the use of going out there when nobody's even going to recognize it? But later she wrote another song which gives a different story. No, be willing to go and work, whether it be at home or across the mission field, with the abilities that God has given you. Be available to be used. God wants you to be faithful. Are you available to be on the team? Because God uses all kinds of people who are available. Let's look to the Lord in prayer.